This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
And so these are definitely challenging times. There's a lot going on for most people. And so I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you today, and it was more along, you know, how do we hold what's going on in our own lives? I know for those of you in the LA area, you just passed the first anniversary of the fires. There's so much going on, you know, as you wrote in the chat, with your personal lives, with medical things, with, you know, work stress, and then there's all the other stuff. So how can we be with all of this in a way where we don't get kind of pulled underwater with it? Right? Because there's so much. And so for me, when things are a lot, when I'm overwhelmed, focusing in and attending to my nervous system and understanding where I am in my nervous system has been one of the most helpful lens, perhaps, in which to support myself. So what do I mean by that? So with whatever is going on in your life, you know, how are you holding it? So do you find yourself in your sympathetic nervous system, your fight-flight response, where you're worried, anxious, angry, agitated, upset, speedy, pedal to the metal, right? That's some of the qualities of this sympathetic nervous system, our fight-flight system. Or is your default, when there's so much, do you go into, I'm talking polyvagal nervous system language here, do you kind of default to your dorsal vagal, kind of your freeze response, your collapse, your numbing out, your disconnect? You know, where do you sense? And Lisa is sharing here that when I pause, I realize how tense I am. Then I can work to release, but it's always tense under the radar. So beautiful noticing. That's that hypervigilance, which is a quality of the sympathetic nervous system. Right? We have the radar on. We're always kind of just waiting for the next blip of what's going to show up on the radar scan. You know, what new awful thing is going to come into our awareness. And that's exhausting. So, you know, some of you may be in that vigilance, tension, worry, anxious. Some of you may be in the numb out. I'm going to just distract. I'm not feeling anything. I'm exhausted, I'm kind of collapsed. Or you may find yourself kind of bouncing between the two, right? Where there's a lot of high activation and then exhaustion and maybe oversleeping or numbing out or something like that. So when you can understand that our nervous system is always responding to input from the environment that comes in. We're always responding to the visual, auditory, all the cues, the, you know, the energetic fields even that are coming in. Our nervous system is responding and making valiant attempts to keep us safe. Right, all of our nervous system states are protective states. And so this is to me where I feel like deep compassion for my own system can come on board more easily when I realize, oh, I'm really worried about this. And it's I'm, you know, chewing over it and it's looping. And it's like, my body is trying to keep me safe. It's trying to sense some control, right? That overthinking, right? That, and a lot of what's going on, we don't have a direct ability to do something, to be effective, to mobilize. And so it can feel frustrating. You know, we have all this energy that is activated and it's like all dressed up and has nowhere to go. And so then our mind takes over. So even worry and anxiety is an attempt to try to do something, to fix something. But often, you know, especially when we're not on site to where our anxious thoughts are going, it's hard for us to, you know, discharge that energy. It's hard for us to feel impactful or effective. And so it can manifest in disrupted sleep, right? Over or under sleeping or interrupted sleep. Our eating patterns may be really off. Many people go for energy in their food, so sugar or caffeine, or they can't eat at all, or, you know, we all have different patterns. And this is challenging, right? How to maintain this equanimity. And so, where do you, as you reflect for a moment, where does your nervous system go in times like we're living through right now? Do you find yourself more in your sympathetic, anxious, stressed, pedal to the metal? Or do you find yourself more in that collapse? Do you have a sense? Yeah, so fight, flight. Yeah, anybody else? Because this is an actual mindfulness practice, right? Of noticing and naming what our pattern is. Yeah, so anxious, hypervigilant, rumination, over-efforting tension, right? So what you're all describing here is more of the sympathetic nervous system location. Yeah, and vacillating between the two of high activation and sympathetic, and then being exhausted and kind of collapsing. Yeah, yeah, that is really normal. Yeah, parasympathetic overload, procrastination, thank you. That is that that's more of a dorsal difficulty mobilizing, having a hard time to get moving to get anything done. Very, very common in that dorsal state. Yeah, I actually struggle to not be hypervigilant, and that struggle just makes it worse. Yeah. I feel like I go towards willful distraction and freeze, but with bursts of fight, flight, anxiety, worry, and yes, procrastination. And there's avoidance. Yeah, avoidance would be more the dorsal. Yeah, so beautiful awareness of what your process is, right? Overthinking, catastrophizing. Yeah, that's more that sympathetic state of your nervous system. So thank you for being able to name this. This is a deeply important and helpful mindfulness tool, a practice of notice and name. And I'll give you some nervous system physiology about why this is a profound practice. So when we pay attention, right, on purpose, right, which is mindfulness, and we notice what's going on, and, you know, we can kind of check in with ourselves. Am I too fast, too high, too low, too slow? Where am I? I'm noticing this. And then finding some words to describe it actually helps us downregulate out of the activation. So when we're all charged up, we have a lot of right hemispheric activation that they've shown on MRI scans, where right brainstem and limbic and cortex are all lit up, but the left side is kind of quiet. So when we notice and then name and find some words, we bring the left side back online. We bring our prefrontal cortex to the forefront again by finding words to describe our experience. And we begin to get some horizontal integration in our brain, which has the effect of softening the activation, of giving us kind of a down-regulating letting go. Even just a tiny bit. You may not feel it in a big way, but it, you know, Dan Siegel talks about name it to tame it, right? And if we can name something, then all of a sudden it begins, there's a possibility of shift happening. So holding this awareness, this noticing and naming is really helpful. And then we're going to do some practices that can help your system come into balance. And I'm going to just speak a little bit about when there is trauma in our own life and or trauma in the world at large. We are wired to pay attention to it, right? Because our nervous system is designed to notice what could be dangerous and to keep paying attention so that we survive. So that's a great survival strategy when the threat is sort of short and intermittent, like there's a saber-toothed tiger in the front yard, so let's stay inside, right? But this long-term, ongoing, unrelenting stressors that we've all had were not designed to hold that so easily. And what tends to happen is we get our focus gets narrowed and smaller, right? Think about just right now, you're paying attention to me on the screen. And so your attention is narrowed and focused to just this screen. And many of us are paying attention to media, to the news, to visual things that are disturbing. And so what happens is we get locked in to this narrower kind of camera lens. So some of you may have had the gift of having a fancier camera in the past, right, before the iPhones, where you know, had the big lenses, and when you zoomed in, you could really get a close-up, you know, of a flower or, you know, something, a beautiful leaf. And that thing of beauty takes up the whole frame, and it can be a very beautiful picture. But what our nervous system does when there's a lot of overwhelm and trauma is that it zooms in and then it kind of locks in. And so we end up living our whole life with a narrow focus. And that is difficult for us to have all the time. So there's a particular practice that I learned in my somatic experiencing trauma training with Dr. Peter Levine. And it's working with the lens of our attention. It's a very beautiful mindfulness practice as well. And I'll share about a time that I first used this with my daughter. She was probably maybe 8 years old, so about 20 years ago. And her little hamster, Cinnamon, wasn't looking so good. And so we took her out of her cage and held her and loved on her. And then we put her down on, we were sitting on the floor. And dear Cinnamon started trembling and shaking, and she died right in front of my daughter. And so that was really difficult. And for the next few days, my daughter would share, "Mommy, all I can see in my head is Cinnamon twitching and dying." Right? So she was narrowed in. Her focus went to that, you know, difficult experience for 7, 8 year old. And it was locked in, right? Because it was so profound. And so I guided her through this opening the lens practice. So I said, "Okay, let's think about, what do you see with Cinnamon?" And she would describe what she saw. And they say, "So what else can you see? If you open your eyes more, what's just around Cinnamon?" And she said, "Well, I see all of us, the whole family gathered, and we started talking about how Cinnamon was so courageous and what a sweet little animal she was, and you know." And then I said, "What else do you see?" And then she kind of like, "What else do you notice in your room?" And it's like, "Oh, I can see the stuffed animals on my bed." Good. And then open it up a little bit more. And then she could see the leaves of the apple tree outside of her window, right? And then, so that was the practice. And she said, "Yeah, I feel a little better." And then the next day I checked in with her and she said, "Well, it's still happening where I see Cinnamon, but not as often." So we did the practice again of just opening the lens to get her awareness more flexible instead of just locked in on a traumatic experience. And, you know, check in. So we did it maybe like 3 or 4 times over the span of a week, where I just guided her through the same thing. What else do you notice? What else is there? And then, you know, by the end of a week, I checked in and she said, "Oh, it didn't happen at all today. And I think it maybe only happened once yesterday where I saw that." And then I would keep checking in. And then pretty soon it was a more of an integrated, like she never forgot about that moment, but it wasn't locked in and ever present. And so this is a beautiful practice that I'm going to guide you through today, along with some other practices about opening our lens to notice what else is there besides all that stuff that is so challenging, right? So that is, that's one practice I'm going to be doing. And that story is always so poignant for me because it really shows what happens when we get really overwhelmed and how we all need support at bringing our awareness back into flexibility and flow. So I wanted to just share a few other tools, mindful tools that we won't be able to practice that might help you as you go through these days, that you can jot down and experiment with, right? This is a grand experiment. How does my nervous system alchemize with what's happening in the world? And when I put in an input, what is the effect of that on my body? So every day is this amazing experiment in the laboratory of our bodies and our minds and our hearts. So for me, when I get into my higher sympathetic worry, agitation, ruminating, looping, catastrophizing, that's my sympathetic fight flight. And I know that what my body wants to do is to mobilize, right? Because the sympathetic is all about fighting or fleeing, right? It's about getting away, running, moving my arms. And so exercise, movement is profoundly helpful. Right, so not staying glued to our TVs or our, going out for a walk, doing some gentle stretching, doing Tai Chi or yoga or dance, putting on some music and dancing. I know some of you may be struggling with chronic pain or medical issues where movement is difficult. And so I invite you to imagine dancing, or, if you're bedbound, to put on some music. And if you can move your arms, do that and imagine moving your body. Imagine going for a walk. Imagine going for a swim. What movement does when we are in our sympathetic fight flight is it uses up some of that energy that has been stimulated. And so we can feel kind of a release or a like we're not holding so much charge in our system, right? It's like offloading some of that big charge. So movement is really helpful. Also there's if you're wanting to do some kind of mobilization, being active in a way of, emailing or donating or, doing activist types of work, if that is your thing. But also volunteering, helping a friend, checking in on somebody, seeing how they're doing, acts of service, a phone call to someone. It's a way of connecting, right? And it's a way of helping you mobilize in support of others, but then you also get the benefit yourself. So social connection is very important. It stimulates that ventral vagal part of our system, which is our most evolved part of our nerve, our vagus nerve, and it's feeling like we're not alone, that we're in this together. That's very important. You can also, if you don't have anyone around you, self-touch, putting your hand on your heart, squeezing your arms, giving yourself a little massage, also releases some oxytocin, which is where we can come back into connection with ourselves, which is important. And then, if I find myself more in a numbing out, dorsal vagal kind of collapse, immobilized kind of place, what also can be helpful for me then is some movement, though when you're really in your dorsal, it's going to be way more gentle movement. It's going to maybe be stretching on the couch, maybe yawning. It's going to be, softer, slower, more compassionate movement for yourself, because It can be hard to come out of that immobilization. Connecting others, you know, with other people. Music can be a very evocative way that we can change our state. I actually, you know, I'm a clinical social worker working in trauma, and I actually had a client that created a playlist for herself that when she was really in her collapsed dorsal depression, the music started out sort of slow and melancholy, and the next song was a little upbeat, the next song a little bit more, right, to get her back to ventral. And when she was in her high, anxious place, she started out with fast music, and then it got a little slower and a little slower. So the input from our environment can help change our nervous system. So what sounds can you take in that are nourishing? What colors, what sights, what touch? What food, what taste, what smells, all of these can be beautiful ways to help our nervous system get unstuck and come into more balance and equanimity. So let us practice. I've been talking a lot. I hope that these are some helpful tools for you, and we'll do a longer practice now where I will incorporate some of these tools so that, you know, some of them may not feel relevant, but just experiment, like just sort of see what happens if you do them. And there may not be anything. You might have a positive, you might not like it, and that's all okay. So this will be sort of a buffet line of a number of different mindfulness and somatic tools for you. All right, so come into a posture that will support your practice. Maybe take some water or tea. And come into this practice with kind of an intention of tending, that you're going to be tending to your nervous system, tending to your heart, tending to your mind in a caring, kind, and curious way. And if you wish, you can come back to the body anchor that you identified in our opening practice. If you need kind of an anchor to kind of settle into our practice. I gave you a lot of food for thought in your mind, and so we're going to kind of percolate down from our heads, coming back into our bodies after some information that I shared. I sometimes feel that shift from my head to my body, kind of like one of those little timers that has sand in it, and you turn it over and the sand flows down to the bottom receptacle. So I feel right now my energy coming down from my head, coming down through my throat and my heart, and coming to rest in that steady place in your body. It can be the same place you were at earlier in the practice, or a new place. And this can take some time. And it might be difficult. It may be hard to let go of those looping thoughts or the emotion that's been stirred up. That's okay. Just continue to softly invite your attention to come back home to some safe enough place in your body, a place that has some neutral sensation. And if your body is not accessible for your attention, notice you can have a touch anchor or a sound anchor, or even a visual cue that you're looking at. If it's hard to place your attention inside of your body, and as we're sitting, just acknowledging the beauty of your body continuing to breathe you. And being, I have a lot of awe for my body, even when it won't relax, right? Even when it's hypervigilant, it's trying to keep me safe. And in the midst of everything that's happening, acknowledging your heart is still beating, the breath comes in and flows out. And your mind and heart may be swirling. And we are all still here, together. We're not alone in this moment. Now, I'd like you, we're going to do the opening the lens practice. And so I'd like you to recall or notice kind of where do you get locked in into your, protective response of your fight, flight, or your freeze? Like, is there an image? Is there kind of a felt sense of your own challenges or something on the news or where, you know, just I want you to identify, notice and name where you tend to get locked in. Because we're going to do this opening the lens practice. So hopefully you can all identify a mind loop or an emotional sensation or loop, you know, an agitation or an anger or an upset. And notice what body sensations go along with this narrow focus of attention. Do you notice your mind going faster or your heart speeding up? Or maybe more tension in your body? Or maybe holding more breath or shallow breathing? And then I'd like you to imagine opening the camera lens and noticing what else might be around this experience. So what I mean by that, I'll give an example. If you're struggling with medical issues, there's your medical issue. But if you open your lens and your awareness a little wider, maybe you have a supportive doctor or nurse or family member that's there for you. Right? Maybe you have that, or maybe you have a comfortable chair that your body can finally rest in. So just sort of widening that lens of this experience to see what else might be present there. And then widening the lens a little bit more. You might be imagining, you know, if, you know, that you might imagine, you know, instead of your screen, maybe the wider space of the room that you're in right now. Maybe noticing a plant or a light, widening that space that wasn't there before around this charged, difficult experience. And you might even open your eyes literally to see, you know, more, you know, getting a broader view that there's outdoor space outside of the room you're in. Maybe even a sense of spaciousness of some trees or plants. Or maybe you are bringing into your awareness some resources you have. Maybe you have an animal in your life that just loves on you. Maybe you have, you know, good music or good food, supportive friends. Maybe you have your faith or a group like what we're sitting in right now, that supports you and holds you. And as you keep widening the lens, as best you can, this is new for many of you, notice that your original challenge is still there. But it's taking up less of the frame of the camera, right, of the lens. You're not trying to push this challenge away or make it disappear or pretend it's not there. It's still present, but you're opening the lens so there's more in the frame of your awareness than just this challenge. And notice what begins to happen in your body as you open the lens. Pay attention to even small shifts, like maybe there was a sigh, or maybe your shoulders have dropped a bit, or maybe your belly feels a bit softer. Maybe your breath is more regular and deeper. And then if you wish, this is optional, I'm going to guide you through a touch practice that can be very regulating and softening and help move you from a protective, you know, nervous system state into more of a restful calm. And this is just putting your hands on your face. And then very slowly and lightly bring your hands down your face. It's like a caressing your face. You can start, you know, from your forehead, over your eyes, softly, gently. The vagus nerve comes out of the same place in the brainstem as many of the facial nerves. And so as we use touch to help us regulate, we're activating and stimulating this vagus nerve. And as you do this gentle touch, notice if it has any effect or not. It may not. I notice that I tend to soften and open my jaw as I do this movement, which releases some tension. Another touch practice is placing one hand at the base of your skull and then one hand on your forehead and just do a light hold. What we're doing here is we're connecting the brainstem in the back, which is instinctual and responsible for our survival responses. We're supporting it with our touch. And then we're connecting it with our prefrontal cortex in our forehead, our wise mind, our mindful, present, witnessing state. And so we're making an energetic and touch connection with our instinctual part of our brain and our mindful, wise part of our brain. And some of you might even be able to feel some energy between your two hands. This might feel comforting. It might feel like you can just be present with yourself. You might feel like you're able to hold your experience with some tenderness. And just holding as long as is comfortable. It's a little, can't do this for too long because the arms, it's a little challenging for the arms. And then if there's any other place in your body where touch can be supportive, hand on the heart, hand on your belly, we hold a lot in our gut, a lot of emotion, a lot of sensation. We hold a lot in our heart, and so sometimes making a connection between heart and belly can be also very calming, very regulating. And some of you may even wish to rock a little bit side to side or forward and back. Rocking has been a movement that has been around for millennia. And there's something that can be soothing and rhythmic when we feel stuck. Gentle rocking movement can be profoundly helpful in reestablishing some flow, helping us get unstuck even just a little bit. And then letting your hands drop and coming into rest. We all need some rest right now. Letting our brains rest, even, and again, just let your brain know this is just a few minutes more of rest. Right? You know, we have to kind of pace how much we relax sometimes because our body gets worried that we're too relaxed. But seeing if you can drop into some quiet within, some rest, some steadiness, some spaciousness. Thank you. right now, nowhere to go, nothing to do. Just allowing yourself to soften, to lean back as best you can. If it's possible for you to savor a bit of quiet or savor the slowness, this can help this experience wire in more solidly in your nervous system. Enjoying this respite from all that's happening. And then as we begin to bring our practice to a close, if there's any of this calm or spaciousness or settling that you would like to extend to anybody that you know or even that you don't know, allow that to flow from you out into the world as an act of kindness and generosity, having filled our cup a little bit, letting it spill over to others in the world who may be suffering so much right now. And I'd like to close with a poem. This is entitled, After Years of Seeking Peace, I Stop, by Rosemary Wotola Traumer. After years of seeking peace, I stop right where I am and find the peace that is already here. Notice the way peace is what holds all the tension in the same way that silence holds noise, in the same way the dark holds the sun. Right here, right here, an infinite peace, an unwavering peace, great enough to hold all agitation, tender enough to hold even the most shattered heart. Thank you all for being willing to be with me in this space and to explore your inner landscape together. So allowing yourself to slowly come out of your space. And we have a little bit of time, 20 minutes or so. I would be so happy to talk with you if you have a question or if there was a part of this practice that was challenging. I'd like to know how the opening the lens practice, what your experience was with that. Anything that you need. Oh, wonderful. You feel so much more relaxed. Yeah. Is there a way that you can tell me how the lens practice was helpful, Lisa? Describe it a little bit. Oh, wonderful. Exactly what I needed. Yeah. You're also welcome to come online. I know this is being recorded, but I know that Serena can probably edit. So you can also do it through the chat. So the opening the lens, it took the specific worry and made it seem not so all important. Thank you for naming that. That is sort of exactly the intention of that lens practice. It's still there, but now it's in the field, in the image, in the space of the lens, it's so much smaller. Yeah, there's that opening up, yeah. Opening the lens brought gratitude, beautiful. Sometimes our resources show up, right? When we open the lens, we notice more. It allowed me to soften in a way the very painful recall of the child inside me with fear. Yeah, so softening to that child part that's worried, that's scared, that doesn't know what to do. Yeah, another gratitude, beautiful. So the beauty of this lens practice is that again, that when we over-focus and we zoom in on what's challenging, we do that as a survival response, but we lose our flexibility in our nervous system. And so to remember, to open, to have some opening and closing, I mean, our whole body works on this pendulation of expansion and contraction, right? And when we zero in and we get locked in that narrow focus, we lose that flow, that pendulation. And so anything that we can do to notice the expansion and contraction following the breath or the heart rate all helps to reestablish that flow, sensing our resources. So this, we need to do this frequently, right? It can be a beautiful end of the day practice before you go to sleep, right? Because often when we go to sleep and turn off the light, there's no more distraction and whoomp, all of our challenges come to the foreground and fills the whole lens. And so we can just keep opening, opening, you know. Yes, Qigong is incredibly helpful in a physical way to expand and contract. So any type of energetic practice like that is really powerful medicine for these times. Yeah, the poem resonated. Yeah, before we end our time together, I'm going to read it again because it's such a beautiful, beautiful practice or beautiful poem. I've gotten into more poetry lately, this particular poet. You can sign up for a poem a day in your email box. It's been some of the best medicine for me. I will type her name in the chat. And if you just Google her, you can go to her website, and she's got hundreds of poems and books and all that, but you can get on this list where you get a poem a day. She's prolific in her writing and very poignant and touching and sometimes silly and beautiful. So, you know, Marta, your comment about my calming voice, again, taking in environmental cues through our senses can help change our nervous system states, right? So listening to a calming voice is good medicine for our nervous system, right? So question here, do you think the opening the lens practice can be helpful with middle of the night overthinking? Yes, I do. You know, so that is a way to, so there's, try it, right? See what happens. The other practice that can be helpful is one that I use from EMDR, the eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And that's the use of a container. And it's basically, you know, putting your worries in a safe, sacred place, but one that doesn't open easily, right? So that you can place your worries somewhere and hopefully not be bothered by them. That I have an audio practice on that on the Insight Timer app where I teach regularly. So I'll put that link here as well. This is my page on Insight Timer, and I have many, many, many practices on the free side of the platform, but also on the paid. I have a lot of nervous system practices, somatic practices. So I find in the middle of the night, if I wake up, if I turn on a meditation with a voice that I'm familiar with, that pulls my attention out of my own head, and I ruminate less and I pay attention to the meditation. So yeah, Lisa, you put your worries in a suitcase for the next day. Beautiful. I'm sad but happy. I fell asleep during the practice because I was just so very tired and missed the practice. So I think there will be a recording of this, Pam. So Serena, maybe you can let us know where. I think on the UCLA Mindful platform, this will show up in some form at some point in time.
Yes, I'll have this online by tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm glad you got some rest, Pam. So, and yeah, lens practice helps look at the big picture of life and helps put things back in perspective. Yeah, also going to practice movement when stuck. Yep. Play with these things. Experiment in your own laboratory of yourself. It's very, very powerful. Almost weekly, I do live sessions on Insight Timer, which is, I do it at 11 Mountain, which would be 10 your time if you're on the Pacific, but 11 Mountain time on Saturdays. And this coming Saturday, I'm doing a class on what's the difference between fear and anxiety. So we're going to talk about the nervous system, the subtle differences between these two very powerful feelings and body states. And so you're welcome to join the live Insight Timer. Live sessions are free. You can just pop in, even if it's only for 15 minutes. But we have a lovely, lovely community like yours here at UCLA. There's a lovely group that comes every week on my Insight Timer Live. So you all are so welcome there as well. So any other insights, any other threads or questions or musings? I hope that you felt the shift in your body when you opened up the lens. I think you did, because you felt calmer and things were in perspective. And when we pay attention to sensation, especially when we have a nervous system state shift, it helps us remember that, right? It's kind of like a savoring practice, if we can feel the goodness of something. So that's important. If nothing else, let me read the poem once again, and we can savor the words. And so one thing that I love, I love being read to, right? It's a nurturing. It reminds me of having stories read to me when I was a kid and how powerful that is. And so letting yourself like be like a sponge and absorb the words and feeling the impact of the words inside of yourself. After years of seeking peace, I stop right where I am and find the peace that is already here. Notice the way peace is what holds all the tension, in the same way silence holds noise, in the same way the dark holds the sun. Right here, an infinite peace, an unwavering peace, great enough to hold all agitation, tender enough to hold even the most shattered heart. So, thank you for your presence today, for being willing for me to yammer on about our brains and nervous system. It is what I love to. So be well, stay safe, tend to yourself in these times, and I will be back on at some other date. When I'm given a date, I will show up, so I will see you again, I'm sure. So I am going to savor your hearts and your thumbs up and your thank yous. It fills me to teach, so I so love being with all of you. So you're welcome to leave at your own pace. I'm going to savor for a moment, but be well, be steady, be kind.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.